It's chapter 30 this morning, Genesis chapter number 30. I had every intention of preaching in Matthew this morning, and as I was studying it, I was studying on Friday in the book of Matthew and planning on preaching that particular message this morning. The Lord changed my mind yesterday and led me to this chapter, and one reason I believe He did this was for this hour, for this message, but the next message in Matthew is a very, very strong message on salvation. I mean, it's strong. So what I want to do is give you a week in preparation to help get lost people here for next week. Because God willing, what I'm studying in Matthew, I'm going to wait till next Sunday morning. And the main emphasis of that passage is Bible, true Bible salvation. So I'm letting you know this, so this week as you're out and about, if you have somebody you're concerned about, if you have a family member, if you have a coworker, now don't tell them, I believe you're lost and you need to come hear this message, okay? That's not how you do it. But be friendly to them, befriend them, try to get them here for next Sunday morning, and they're going to hear a strong salvation message, okay? That's one reason I felt the Lord led me in this direction. Genesis chapter 30, verse number 1. When Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And she said, behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, and I may also have children by her. She gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, the wife, and Jacob went unto her. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. Rachel said, God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again, and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed, and she called his name Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. Now, this is just a beautiful story, isn't it, friends? Isn't it great? Verse 11, Leah said, a troop cometh, and she called his name Gad. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field, brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. She said unto her, is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? Wouldst thou take away my son's mandrakes also? Rachel said, therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night. And God hearkened unto Leah. She conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. Leah said, God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband, and she called his name Issachar. Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. Leah said, God hath endued me with a great dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons. She called his name Zebulun. Afterwards she bare a daughter, called her name Dinah. What a wonderful family story that is. I draw your attention to verse number 1, the phrase Rachel envied her sister. And this morning I preach to you on the effects of envy. The effects of envy. Let's pray together. I'll share this thought. Father, we love you. Help us to be faithful. Challenge us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a sin we have on display for our attention today. It's the sin of envy. It's been said that envy is a feeling of discontent or covetousness with regard to another's advantages, another's success, or another's possessions. On and on we could go. This is what we see taking place in this text. Jacob had agreed to work for 7 years for Rachel. However, when the wedding night came, Laban deceitfully gave him Leah instead. Through this, Jacob agreed to work another 7 years for Rachel. Being married to two women was not a good thing. Still not a good thing. Somebody say amen right there. And it certainly caused strife in this home. Now, when chapter 29 closed, we've already preached on that, we saw Leah had given birth to four baby boys. And at this time, Rachel was still barren. Chapter 30 opens with Rachel seeing her barrenness and becoming envious of her own sister because of her children. In other words, God had been good to both of them, but had opened only Leah's womb at this time, and Rachel got envious. Now, throughout these verses, we see two sisters battling one another to get ahead of the other. We see what I call the effects of envy. You know, the sin of envy is a sin that all of us must be on guard against. In our flesh, we desire to be number one, in other words. In our flesh, we don't like to be below anybody. We don't like it in our flesh. That's the key phrase, in our flesh, when somebody seems to have more than we have. And we become envious. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves getting envious of others. And I want to say this, if you find yourself envious of another, I'm going to show you in this text where it leads. What happens? What are the effects? What are the results? What happens when a person becomes envious? Could it be in a crowd this size that somebody's envious of another person and they don't even know it? Could it be that somebody's envious of somebody else and they do know it, but they think, what's the big deal? By the end of this message, you're going to realize by looking at your own life, I am envious or I am not. If you are, get it right. If you're not, get on your face and beg God to keep it away from you, because envy will destroy your life. I give you, how many things here? There's 17, 8, I'm kidding. I'm giving you 6 things today about envy. There's 6 effects in this chapter. Now, personally, there are probably more effects of envy, but I'm giving you the 6 effects that we find in this chapter concerning envy. Number one, we're just summarizing it. We're defining it. What is it? What's the result of it? What happens? Number one, envy compares with others who have what you want. Envy compares with others who have what you want. Now we see this in verse number one. When Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister. Question, why did Rachel envy her sister? She envied her sister because her sister had what she wanted. The Bible says that she saw her barrenness and she got envious of her sister because her sister was not barren. Her sister had children. And we see that envy in Rachel's life compared with her sister who had what she wanted. It's interesting, this phrase that where it says Rachel saw that she bare no children. You know what that word saw means? It means she gazed upon it. It means she considered it. It means she had her eyes on it. And may I say something to you, friends? She had her eyes on her problem instead of her blessings. She saw her sister with the blessings of God upon her by giving her children. And she began to compare herself to her own sister. And she began to believe the lie that God's not as good to me as he is to her. And here, envy began to creep in. When she should have been thankful for what she did have, she looked at her sister who had what she didn't have. And she became envious. May I say this to you under this first point? She had her eyes in the wrong place. She was comparing herself to another who had what she wanted. Secondly, envy not only compares with others who have what you want, but number two, envy complains about what you don't have. It compares to those who have what you want. In other words, it causes you to compare to them and think that God's not been as good to you as they have to them, as he has to them. And you start comparing what you don't have to what they do have, and envy creeps in. If envy creeps in by comparing, the next logical step is complaining. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at verse number one. And when Rachel saw that she bare no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. A lot in this first verse. What we see her comparing to her sister. Then we see her complaining about what she doesn't have. See, when a person has their eyes only on their problems and not on the blessings of God upon them, they have a tendency to look around and envy somebody who seems to have it better than they have it. Let me ask you a question. How good has God been to you, friends? How good has God been to you? By the way, you're breathing His air. You're eating His food. You're drinking His water. He's taken care of you. He's clothed you. He's put a roof over your head. God has been good to us. Amen. You know what envy does? It focuses on one thing you don't have that you want, that you crave. And it refuses to look at all the good God's done, and it calls you to look at the one thing you don't have. And you start complaining, I've got to have that or else. That's envy. That's envy. I'm going to tell you something, friends. I've already said this before, but if you start comparing yourselves to others and envy starts setting in, the logical next step on that slippery slope is you'll start complaining. You'll start complaining about what you don't have. And the whole time God's sitting up in heaven saying, what? What about all the things you do have? Complaining, complaining. She was certainly exaggerating the extent of her problem. By the way, you know what envy does? It exaggerates your problems. I've got to have that or else I die, she said. That's what she said. Read it. Give me children or I die. Really? Was she threatening suicide or what here, friends? Give me children, I'm going to kill myself. Or give me children because I'm telling you, if I don't have children, I'm as good as dead. Can you imagine how this must break the heart of God listening to this? Anybody with me this morning or not, friends? She's exaggerating her problem. And in this complaining, Rachel had her focus on what she didn't have more than on what she did have. One person put it this way, envy is grieving at the good of another. No sin is more offensive to God, no more injurious to our neighbor and ourselves. Another person put it this way, envy is criticism of the wisdom of God. Let me say that again. Envy is criticism of the wisdom of God. It is the opposite of contentment. Envy ignores the blessings it has and focuses only on what it does not have. Rachel had much going for her in the fact that she was very beautiful. And after all, Leah was only tender-eyed. She had everything going for her because she had the true affections of Jacob for her. Jacob loved her more than he loved Leah. She had a lot going for her. But envy caused her to forget her blessings and only complain about what she lacked. No wonder she caused problems in this household. So many people complain about what they do not have and ignore the blessings they do have, friends. Envy leads to comparing to other people. In other words, you can't be envious of somebody unless they have something you want. You start comparing yourself to them. Then you start complaining about what you don't have and you bypass all the blessings of God. Thirdly, it not only compares and complains. By the way, let me make this statement. Before I give you the third thing, if you ever catch yourself feeling sorry for yourself as you look at the blessings of others, if you look at somebody and you feel yourself getting sorry, look how bad I've got it. That is envy. That is envy. By the way, you know what it was that crucified our Lord? Read it yourself. In the book of Matthew and Mark, when they brought him to Pilate, the Bible says he knew that they gave him to him because they were envious. They envied him. And I'm going to tell you something. It'll destroy your life. Envy will destroy you if you let it. Here's what I'm saying. Envy does not rejoice in God's goodness. It rather complains about what it doesn't have. Number one, it compares to others who have what you have, who have what you want. It complains about what you don't have. Number three, the effects of envy, it casts blame on others. It casts blame on others. Notice the language in verse number one. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel and her sister and said unto Jacob, Jacob, you give me children. Now, according to my study, You know what she's doing? She's blaming him. By the way, the next step in this slippery slope of envy is Rachel had compared, she had complained, and now she's casting blame elsewhere. Here's what I'm saying. We see her saying to Jacob, give me children. This made Jacob mad. Look at verse number 2. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And said, am I in God's stead and withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? He got mad. This tells me, according to my study here, she was blaming Jacob for her problem. Some people claim that what she's saying here is, excuse me now, but she was accusing him that he was not able to give her children. Really? Leah already had 4 boys. What am I saying here? I'm saying this. I'm saying she wanted Jacob to give her children. Let me say this to you. If not repented of, envy will continue to slide until you catch yourself blaming innocent people. Jacob was innocent. Now, he was a rascal, friends, but he was innocent. I'm talking about in this. God had withheld the fruit from her womb. God was trying to teach her something. And she started blaming Jacob. Envy always does that. The ultimate example of this, I've already said, blaming innocent people, it's the crucifixion itself. That text is Matthew 27, 17 and 18. This is just one of them. It says, therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. They brought the Lord Jesus because they were envious. Number one, we're just looking at the effects of envy. The effects of envy. What is it? It compares to somebody who has what you want. It complains about what you don't have to the point that you just neglect the things that you do have. It starts casting blame on other people. Then number four, it connives to get its own way. It connives to get its own way. We see this in verses 2 to 13. I'm not going to read that again. But the word connive means to plot, to scheme. In other words, they want it and they'll do anything to get it. Here's what I'm talking about. Once Rachel got envious of her sister and cast blame on Jacob for a problem, we see the next step in her downward spiral of envy is she started to connive to get her way. She wanted children. And she didn't care what it took to get them. Stay with me here now. She took matters into her own hands, in other words, and she concocted a plan to have children by another woman. Now, be honest. Be honest, ladies. Be honest. Be honest. Is she thinking straight? Excuse me. I know we've got children. I'm being discreet. But she's not thinking clearly here. Would you agree with that or not? Take my maid. Go ahead. I've got to have children. I don't care what it takes. That's envy. That's envy. I'm telling you that she wanted children and could not stand seeing her sister with them, so she was going to bypass the Lord and do it her own way. This is the way envy works if given a chance. An envious person will do anything they can to get their way. No matter what it may be, and no matter who they hurt in the process. Can I say this to you? Did Billa have a choice? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. This is her maid. Sure, she could have refused, but wouldn't you agree that she should have never been put in that position? Rachel didn't care about Billa here. She cared about herself. And she was willing to sacrifice, excuse me, the purity of Billa to get her way. You know what envy does? It crucified the Lord. That's what it did. You know what it does? It crucifies others. That's what it does. It'll do anything it has to get its way. By the way, it's never right to get ahead of God's will. This conniving was very selfish. It revealed that Rachel, get this, was more interested in what others thought than what God thought. See, because back in this day, if a woman did not have children, they thought it was the judgment of God. Now that was not necessarily true. But that was the teaching. So she was willing to do anything just so others wouldn't look at her that she was cursed. Even if it meant disobeying God. Envy is very, very dangerous. She was going to do anything it took to get ahead. She was going to do anything it took so that she'd have to look back at her sister instead of looking in front of her sister, looking ahead to her sister. She could not stand the fact, get this, that God had been so good to her sister. This was the goodness of God to Leah, friends. The last chapter says God opened her womb. You know what that means? Envy hates the goodness of God to somebody else. Not to me, but to somebody else. That's envy. Let me give you a fifth thing. Aren't you glad I'm going quick, friends? What is it? What's it do? It compares to somebody who has what you want. It complains about what you don't have, to the neglect of all the good that God has done. Hey, it casts blame on innocent people who have nothing to do with it. It connives to have its own way. It'll do anything to get ahead of that person. Anything. Makes no difference. Hey, listen, it doesn't matter what it is, as long as they are better than that person. Number five, it competes to get ahead of others. We see this in verses 2 to 13, and Leah comes into the equation now. Can I say this? Leah wasn't an angel either, friends. Here is an older sister and a younger sister. The younger sister cannot stand the blessing of God on her older sister, and she starts casting blame, comparing and complaining, so she starts conniving. Well, I'm just going to make my own way. I mean, I don't care what it takes. Take Bilha. Leah sees this. Leah says, okay. Here's my maid, take her. I am not going to let her get ahead of me. You know what they're doing? They're competing. That's all they're doing. I'm saying that they were competing with one another to outdo the other one. What a sad sight this was. Each one of these ladies were willing to add to the immorality of that household. They were adding to the immorality in order to get their own way. Rachel even said, get this now, she said, I have wrestled with my sister. Notice it. She says this, what verse is that? In verse number 8, Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. You know what that word wrestle means there, friends? It means to be engaged in a match. Let me ask you a question. Is God ever in you wrestling another human being to get ahead of each other? No. I'll tell you what he is in. In a chapter or two, we're going to see Jacob wrestling with an angel of the Lord for the blessing of God upon his life. You choose who you wrestle. You know who you need to be wrestling? With God. I will not let you go until you bless me. He touched the hollow of his thigh. But in this chapter, it's not man wrestling with God for a blessing. It's sister wrestling with sister due to envy. Leah was just as guilty in all this. It was just a stiff competition. Butler put it this way, having children has become with Rachel simply a contest to see who will gain the honors of the world. These sisters were locked in a cruel contest. This competitiveness marred their relationship. Then there's a sixth thing about it. It compares to those who have what you want. It complains about what you don't have. It casts blame on innocent people. It connives to get its own way, doesn't matter what it is, and it competes and starts wrestling with other people. And number six, here it is, it confuses you. It confuses you. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Both of these sisters were certainly envious of one another. The Bible specifically says this about Rachel, that she envied. But in these verses, we see how envy, when left to do its damage, when it's not repented of and confessed as sin and forgiven, it'll end up confusing those who have it. They don't think straight. Now, I want you to look at these verses, and I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. Look at verse number 6. Rachel said, now this is after she gave Bilhah. And Bilhah conceived and bare a son. Now notice how she responded, verse 6. Rachel said, God hath judged me and hath also heard my voice and hath given me a son. You know what she said? God's answered my prayers. You know what I say? Hogwash. Garbage. You know what she's saying right here? She says, God hath judged me. You know what this word judge means right here, friend? Listen to me. We know from elsewhere in Scripture that polygamy is not something the Lord is pleased with. It's not what he's pleased with. But she said, God, judge me in this. You know what this means according to my study? It means that God answered her prayer, and that word says, God, judge me. She said, God is pleading my case, and he's put me on top. What? You know what I say to that? Confusion. She thinks sin is the blessing of God here. It doesn't stop. Look at verse 14 and 15. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother, Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. And she said unto her, is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? Wait a minute. What? Rachel took Leah's husband? I thought it was Leah who deceived Jacob first. But look at this. And wouldst thou take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. Somebody said, what in the world? Why would she want those mandrakes? Now listen to me. Listen to this. Reuben comes, he finds some mandrakes. He brings them to his mother, and Rachel says, I want those mandrakes. Leah says, is it not enough that you stole my husband? She's confused too, friends. Hallelujah. She's confused. And now you want my son's mandrakes? Here's what it is. Rachel said, I tell you what, I'll let you use that and he'll go home with you tonight instead. Confused? You know what I'm saying? Now here's what I'm saying. What's the big deal here? Here's the big deal. Listen to this. Listen to this. Maybe you didn't know that. I didn't know this. Listen to this. Mandrakes are a small herb which, according to ancient superstition, aroused, get this, sexual desire and promoted fertility. Therefore, Rachel's barrenness would give her a great interest in these mandrakes. You know why she wanted the mandrakes? Because she thought they would help her bear a child. Let me ask you a question. Where do children come from? Life comes from God. Life doesn't come from mandrakes. She is very superstitious here. She's falling into the superstition of the day. I've got to have those mandrakes because I need them to be able to bear a child. She didn't need mandrakes. She needed God's blessing on her life. Would you agree? Confusion doesn't stop there. Verse 18. Stay with me now. I'm doing good. I'm right here. I'm going down there. Here we go. Verse 18. Look at it. Now Leah comes on the scene. Leah has given her handmaid to him. And now it says right here in verse number 18, and Leah said, God hath given me my hire because I've given my maiden to my husband. She called his name Issachar. You know what she's saying here? She's adding to the immorality. She has given her handmaid, and then once that handmaid bears a child, Leah says, God hath paid me my dues. That's what she means. God hath given me my hire. She's saying, God has paid me for such a marvelous thing I've just done. Can I say something to you? Confusion. Confusion. Listen to this. James 3:16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion. And every evil work. What is envy? What's the effects of envy? What are the results of envy? How does it work? What is it? Well, it is something that compares to somebody who has something that you want. It is something that complains about what you don't have and you neglect all the blessings of God around you. It is something that starts casting blame on innocent people. It's his fault. It's her fault. Oh, if I just didn't have to do this, then I could have that. Starts casting blame on others. It starts conniving to get its own way. It doesn't matter if God's in it or not. It will do anything to get on top. It's something that competes with those that they cannot stand the blessing of God on, and it starts confusing them to where they think sin and everything they're doing, God is pleased with it. That's envy. D.L. Moody put it this way. He once told a fable of an eagle who was envious of another eagle that could fly better and higher than it could. Now, this didn't happen because eagles don't talk, but just play with me here. One day the bird saw a sportsman with a bow and arrow and said to him, "I wish you would bring that eagle up there down." The man said that he would if he had some feathers for his arrow so his arrow could travel further. So the jealous eagle on the ground pulled one out of his wing. The man put it to an arrow and shot, and it didn't fly far enough. So the jealous eagle kept pulling feathers out until finally they thought they had enough feathers to shoot that eagle that was flying so high. But what had happened is he had pulled so many of his own feathers out that now he couldn't fly. And the sportsman was setting him up the whole time. And he turned around and that eagle was now helpless and could not fly away from danger. And the sportsman killed that one instead of that one. And D.L. Moody put it this way, if you are envious of others, the one you will hurt the most by your actions will be yourself. I ask you a question. Listen to me, please. Are you an eagle on the ground when you should be soaring? Even if it's not as high as that one, at least you have the blessing you can fly. Amen, friends. And instead of being up in the air where God made you to be, are you roaming around down on the earth, having your eye on somebody that you think has it better than you because he can fly higher than you can, he can do something better than you can, listen, she's better looking than you are, whatever the case. I don't know how the devil works. I know how it works, but there's all kinds of ways he tries to get it. And you say, shoot him, shoot him, shoot him. And the whole time you are putting yourself in danger with the arch enemy of the eagle, which is that one and you. And he tricks you into thinking, if you'll help me, I'll do it. And the whole time, instead of getting up and flapping your wings and enjoying the blessings of freedom and God's freedom up in the air, you start pulling feathers out. And before long, you're now grounded. And the enemy of your soul will turn his attack on you instead. Can I say this to you? More than likely, there is always somebody that has more, can do more, and is a little bit better. Amen or not, friends? You know what the devil tries to do? Look at them. And if you start comparing to them, you'll start complaining about that you can't do that. And you'll start casting blame on innocent people around you, and you'll start conniving just to get ahead of them. And you'll start competing, even if they don't even know you're competing. You're competing with them in your own mind. And before long, you're so confused that you think that what you're doing is of God. God wants you to be content, not envious. Are you content? Or are you envious? Somebody says, how do I know? Are you comparing to somebody else? Are you complaining about what you don't have? Are you casting blame on other people? Are you conniving to get ahead in this world? Are you competing with somebody in your own heart and mind? And are you confusing sin for blessings? Job 5:2 says, for wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. Did you hear that verse? For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. In other words, if you lose your temper, wrath, that's foolish. But if you're envious, that's just silly. Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. Proverbs 27:4, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? 1 Corinthians 3:3, for ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men? James 4:5, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Song of Solomon 8:6, for love is strong as death, jealousy is cruel as the grave. God hates envy. Because what it does, it looks in his face and says, I'm not satisfied. The effects of envy. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and thank you for this day. Help us to see the danger of envy. Help us to understand this, that we all have to fight against this. All of us. Help us, Lord God, to give the battle to you. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. I ask you these questions. Number one, are you a child of God? Has there been a time in your life where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? You're not trusting your baptism, your good works, your church membership. No, you're trusting the shed blood of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? If not, come, let us take a Bible, share with you the gospel. Then I ask a hard question, and I'm not expecting you to raise your hand. I'm not even going to ask you to do that. And I know in a message like this that most people will not respond to the altar because they're concerned about somebody thinking that they're envious and jealous. Number one, you shouldn't care what other people think. But number two, I can kind of understand that. If there in the privacy of your seat, if you say, Jody, I am saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. Now, if you're not, if you don't know the Lord, you come. Let us take a Bible, share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, wouldn't it be great for somebody on their way to hell to leave on their way to heaven today? But if you are saved, I ask you this question. Ask it sincerely in your heart. Answer it honestly in your heart. Am I dealing with envy? Am I envious of what somebody else has? Am I comparing myself to them? Am I complaining in my own heart? Maybe you've never said a word to anybody, but in your own heart, you've been complaining about what you don't have to the point that you've forgotten the good things you do have. Do you understand the message? God, give us victory in this. God, give us victory. Let's all stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If God is speaking to you, if you need to be saved, you come. If God is speaking to you in a specific way, you come. But if you're dealing with envy, you're not going to come forward, at least use your seat there as an altar. Would you do that? Just bow your head right there as you're standing and pray and talk to God. Ask God to give you victory. Confess it for what it is. It's sin. And ask God to give you victory. The Lord's dealing with you to come forward. You come forward. As Brother Gary sings, come now. Would you do that? Come on. Let's talk.
Have thine own way, Lord.
The effects of envy.
Have thine own way.
It will destroy you.
Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting,
still standing, you can look this way. I just want to make a few closing comments here. You say, Jody, what do I need to do? You need to put your life up against these points. If you ever catch yourself comparing with somebody else, that's envy trying to creep into your life. You ever catch yourself complaining about what you don't have, that's envy trying to creep into your life. You ever catch yourself casting blame on innocent people, it's his fault. If I didn't have to do that or go there, I'd have time to do that. That's envy trying to creep into your life. If you catch yourself conniving to get ahead in life, makes no difference if God's pleased or not. You're going to do that because you think it's going to get you a step ahead. That's envy trying to creep into your life. You catch yourself competing. I've got to get ahead of that person. Oh, he took a step forward. I need to take two. Oh, if your eyes are on that person, envy's trying to creep into your life. If you ever see yourself confused, calling blessings out of sin, calling sin the blessings of God. God is blessing me in this. And the whole time you know your heart's not right. That's envy trying to creep into your life. Somebody says, what's the big deal? It crucified Jesus. That's what the big deal is. Sure, he died for our sins, and that was one of them. It wasn't just envy, but it was envy why those Jewish leaders put him in Pilate's presence. It'll destroy you. It'll wreck your life. We need to look into the face of Jesus and say, you really are all I need and all I want. And get my eyes off of all this worldly things. That's the message. May the Lord help us to see it. Father, bless this, I pray. Bless those who are here. Help them to get this thought. And help us all to stand on guard of it, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed tonight. Please be back if you can. Speak to people as you leave. And if you're going to come to the breakfast, or if you're a Sunday school worker or a bus worker, you need to sign up. Those sign-up sheets are on the bulletin board. Mission trip meeting.